All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast, episode 22, September 28th, 2017. Once again, we are presented by WTP Sports, We the People Sports. Check them out online. They got lots of cool paraphernalia. That's a good way to do it. It's not like drug paraphernalia. Yeah. It's like good paraphernalia.
I would have just said merch.
Merch, that would work. Merch, yep. Probably better way to put it, but that's okay. Get some pretty sweet shirts, including one I designed. It's a little Cookie Monster. It's pretty dope. Not going to lie. So anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at Weekend War Pod. So it's WKNDWARPOD. And remember to subscribe and review on iTunes. If you write a review and take a screenshot and send a picture to us, we'll send you some free stuff. And without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, I think we kind of have to start with the story of the week. And Mike, you said the story of what, the last decade, you think?
Biggest sports story of the decade.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Yeah. I mean, okay.
Well, what else could it be?
Well, maybe Rick Pitino and the FBI, or Rick Pitino and the hookers, or...
I mean,
shoot. You're right. I mean, look, the president's involved, right?
Yeah.
And anytime you get the president involved, you know, the office of the president of the United States, it's pretty legitimate, you know? I'll tell you what, man, it was the weirdest thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Him coming out and talking like that and get those sons of bitches off the field.
Well, he's doing it for the... I don't know why he's still having campaign rallies. I mean, I know it was a rally for another politician who ended up losing, but, I mean, you guys are president. You won, so what are you doing? But anyways, he's just getting the cheap pop from the fans in Alabama. Of course, they love hearing that. In all seriousness, this guy does kind of have a background in pro wrestling.
He does.
And he's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But what he did was just cut a wrestling promo. And I don't think he knows what he's saying. I'm sure he knows, but it's not like he's saying this as his policy. You know what I mean? He's just saying it to get a reaction out of people.
Right.
And then I think we take it a lot more serious than he does.
I think so. Well, if you look at any politician, especially president, anytime there's something going on, it seems like they try to start something over here, so you look over there and story, right? So that's politics, right?
Yeah.
So there's some shit going on, and maybe the whole Puerto Rico thing was going on, or maybe the stuff with North Korea or whatever. I mean, there's a million things going on that, you know, that people aren't happy about. So instead, he sends out a rallying cry against these kneeling people, and then they all kneel. And so it's like, you know, now you got two sides. You got the side that doesn't want them to kneel. You got the side that is kneeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Trump's in the middle laughing about it, basically like, I did what I wanted, which is split the country in two, which is crazy. And these idiots that are burning tickets and shit, were they doing this last year? Were these people doing this last year when Kaepernick was doing it? Were they doing it at the beginning of the year when there were other people doing it? I don't get. Like, I don't understand that.
They're blinded by quote unquote patriotism. And that's what this whole thing is about. I mean, they're like, oh, you know, people died for the flag, which they did, and, you know, all the respect in the world to the people who have, but that's not what this is about. This is about, you know, African Americans just being, you know, being treated so poorly in this country, and that's where this started. I mean, Kaepernick basically got permission from a guy who was in the military, right?
Yeah, he was a Navy SEAL, and, you know, Nate Boyer, and you look at it, and you look at the different people that have come out in support of it, the veterans, the widows of veterans that were killed in action, Pat Tillman's wife, like all these people. So there's a million different people that come out and are on that side of it that say, we understand what they're doing. It's not about the veterans. It's during the national anthem. They're taking a knee. But at the same time, they're not walking around on the sideline. They're not chatting with their friends. They're not giving the flag the middle finger. They're not burning the flag. They're not doing any of those things. So I don't understand this. And this is my point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ready for this. I'm about to blow your mind right now. If you watch the game at your house and you have the game on and they play the national anthem on the TV, do you stand up and salute the flag?
No.
No, because you're at home and it's just playing. So are you disrespecting the flag then by not standing off your couch? And
no, you're disrespecting the flag.
Right? So if that's the case, and every single person across America, when the national anthem comes on, you have to get out of your seat and salute the flag. Because if you don't, you're disrespecting the flag.
I'm sure some people do that, though.
I'm sure some people do. I'm sure they do. I know my buddy Dave, who listens to the show, he does. Yeah. Because he's like, I just don't know what to do. He's like, I just kind of stay with, what are you going to do, right? So it's like, yeah, maybe it's a little uncomfortable and you feel like maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But nowhere does it say you have to stand and salute the flag. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I don't understand what the problem is. It just, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, this whole thing, and Jeff Perlman is a really good writer. He's written a bunch of sports books that are all real good. He wrote an article, and it makes a lot of sense. He's actually doing a book in the USFL, which Trump owned a team in the USFL back in the 80s, and the only reason he did is because he couldn't get a team in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that he almost bought the Patriots?
Really?
Yep.
That I did not.
And I think it was before Victor Kiam bought them.
Okay.
But he would have inherited all their debt.
Oh, yes.
He was going to spend $80 million on the Patriots and then have to pay off all their debt. So he said, screw that.
Right.
And so he tried to buy the Bills, too, when they were for sale a few years ago after Ralph Wilson passed.
Right.
And the other guy, Terry Pegula, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He outbid him by like a ton.
Right.
But then Trump tweeted out that, yeah, the only reason I bid on them is that so someone would keep them in Buffalo.
Shut up.
But all this comes back from the 80s, and he owned the what was it, the New Jersey Generals, which they had a ton of money, and he, you know, drafted
spent like
he,
crazy.
He signed Doug Flutie. I think he signed Herschel Walker.
I think he did,
And so the USFL, if you don't know, was a spring league. It went from February to like August.
Right.
And Trump bought them, I think, in their second or third year, and he conned all the other owners into thinking that they could compete head-to-head with the NFL. So he had a meeting with Pete Rozelle, the commissioner at the time, and basically, from what I've read, he just, like, of course, talked about himself and made himself look like the man, and Pete Rozelle was like, as long as I'm the commissioner and as long as anyone else is the commissioner in this league, you'll never own a franchise in this league. So that pissed Trump off. So he convinced all the other USFL owners to sue Pete Rozelle in the NFL.
Right.
For a monopoly, which the USFL won.
Yeah, but it was like $1.
They were awarded $1. So all of this, he's been rejected by the NFL, and that's where a lot of this comes from.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, it does. It makes sense. It's one guy really pissed off at the NFL, and now he has this stage where he can say whatever he wants, and he can get away with whatever he wants. And, you know, and it's funny because people say, oh, ratings are down, ratings are down, it's bad, ratings are down. Do you realize, like, the Major League playoffs are going to start next week. Major League Baseball's playoffs are going to start next week. And next weekend, when the baseball playoffs are going on and the week four of the NFL is going on, week five of the NFL is going on, the NFL is going to crush all of the ratings for Major League Baseball in the playoffs during week five. And then, when the World Series is going on, chances are the NFL is going to crush the ratings of the World freaking Series.
Such a shame.
The World Series. So, yes, maybe the ratings are down from last year. They're 1,000 times better than any other league in this country. Go burn your tickets. Do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People are going to watch. Do you hear? Trump said, I'm not watching. And then he said, oh, yeah, I caught one of the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, dude, even Trump can't not watch it. It's just like, you know.
Too many shots to the head or something. Like,
it's
this
crazy.
Is losing
it's wild.
Shit,
but yeah.
And another thing, too, with the owners, right, in the NFL, which, like, that's, I like that they, all of them came out, and not all of them, but at least, like, most of them, I think, right? Not everyone did.
Decent amount of them, There's only a few of them that did not.
Came out and denounced, you know, Trump's comments and all that, and they're on the field with the players, but half these guys gave $1 million to Trump for his inauguration. Right. I know you can change your mind, but...
Including Kraft.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I
but
mean,
these
yeah.
guys, like, they voted for him because he'll give them a tax cut.
Right.
Like, that's what this is all about, and Trump's buddies with the Patriots, and I like, I hate that about the Patriots. Look, it's all these ties with Trump.
And it's all money. It's all come back to money. Before 2009, the players weren't even on the field for the national anthem. They were in the locker room. Then the DOD, which is the Department of Defense, for those of you who don't know, the DOD comes out and pays the NFL a ton of money to do all these patriotic things before the game.
Yeah, do the salute to service.
Right. So now the NFL requires players to be on the sideline for the national anthem. But up to like 8 or 9 years ago, that wasn't the case. They didn't even have to be on the sideline. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's all about the money for these NFL owners. And it's a football game. It's a football game. Football game. Like, really? It's a football game. Come on. It's so ridiculous that these guys are getting crucified because they took a knee during a football game.
And they couldn't have a classier, more peaceful protest than what they're doing.
Really? I mean, and that's true, you know? And people say, hey, look, you know, maybe they should be going out and effecting change in, you know, in their community. And
they already do, for the most part.
Well, and that's the thing. And first of all, we don't know, you know, what they do. That tons of guys do tons of different things for, you know, tons of organizations and stuff. And we don't know anything about it. We don't hear about it because they don't talk about it. And they don't want to talk about it. And that's fine. But, like, that's none of our damn business. They have a platform where they can do that. And so they do it. And you know what? If it really was that big of an issue, don't show it on television. Don't show it on television. Yeah, if it's really that big of an issue, don't show it on TV. Yeah. What the hell difference does it make? Because, yeah, they're taking a knee. So what? So don't show them. Show the flag instead. Who cares? If it's really that big of an issue for you and you have really that big of a problem with it, then don't show the guys doing it. Don't do that stuff. It's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, there's two things to me. And look, on both sides, there's idiots on both sides. Don't get me wrong, okay? But
explain, how so?
Well, jeez. Because some of the stuff that people say is ridiculous, right? I mean, there were people that come out and say, like, that, you know, there was someone, like, there was a picture, someone tweeted out, like, a picture of, like, a bunch of people kneeling and then one person standing. And basically, like, the guy said, like, that person standing is a racist or something. And it's like, dude, come on. Like, what are you doing? Don't do that, you know? And for the most part, that hasn't happened on that side, which is good. Okay? But two things, to me, show all you need to know. Number one, Villanueva. Okay? The Alejandro Villanueva, who is the tackle from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He came out of the locker room, saluted the flag, whatever. Fine. He's a former Army Ranger, everything like that, right? The rest of his team was in the locker room. After the game, he apologized.
Yeah, it turns out it was a Three Stooges skit pretty much.
Well, oh, God. What a mess that was. And, of course, freaking Mike Tomlin, because he's an absolute moron, can't get it together and can't figure out what his team really wants, and so says, okay, we're staying in the locker room. Now, Villanueva apologizes, right? Now, everyone jumps out and says, oh, Villanueva should have never apologized because, you know, he's there and he should never apologize for saluting the flag. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, wait a second. Did you listen to what the guy said? Did you listen to his words? He didn't apologize for standing for the anthem. He apologized because while his team was in the locker room, he decided on his own to walk out and stand for the anthem. He didn't tell anybody on his team. So maybe if he had said to what he was saying he was sorry about is that maybe if I had said it to my team, they would have wanted to come out with me, but I did it on my own and that was selfish of me. That's what he was saying.
He wanted to see the flag. He was fine with like staying in the locker room. They were in the tunnel.
Okay.
So he stood out a little bit more to see the flag, and he thought that the team was behind him.
Right.
That's what he said.
So it's just, you know, it's just so ridiculous where he apologized basically because he inadvertently made a spectacle of himself.
Right.
That was not his intention.
Right.
That was not what he wanted to do. He didn't want to make the rest of the team. He, in his eyes, felt like he made the rest of the team look bad by doing what he did, which was not his intention, which is what he apologized for. The players didn't come after him. The coaches didn't come after him. Don't be ridiculous. I mean, the guy apologized because, you know, if I had known that the teammates weren't going to do that, I wouldn't have done that either. Yeah. I would have said to them, hey, I'm doing this. If you want to come with me, come with me. Yeah. Otherwise, don't. Whatever. But it's just, it's so stupid.
And then Roethlisberger comes out and says, yeah, I regret that. I wish we didn't do that. Like, Jesus. Like,
some of that stuff, man. It's just ridiculous. And then, so then the other one for me is the Jerry Jones one. It is the one that kills me, because after the Monday night game, everyone's saying, oh, Jerry Jones took a knee. Jerry Jones took a knee during the anthem, which is false. It's a lie. If you think Jerry Jones took a knee during the anthem, you're wrong. You've been lied to. Okay, Jerry Jones came out with the team. They linked arms and they took a knee, and then the anthem started and they stood up and linked arms together while standing, listening to the national anthem. So what they wanted you to believe was that he took a knee during the national anthem, but that's not true. Oh, and by the way, while they were taking a knee, when the anthem wasn't playing, they were getting booed. So if you're really worried about the anthem, if the anthem is the thing that you're worried about, why are you booing Jerry Jones and the Cowboys when they take a knee when the anthem isn't playing? That's a, by the way, I don't want to take credit for that, Scott Van Pelt, which is totally true. It's like the truest thing I ever said. And you just think about that and you're like, why the hell are you, the anthem's not even going on. So you're booing them taking a knee. Are they disrespecting the flag? The flag's not even out. So it's like you're disrespecting the fact that they have, that they're not happy about the way they're being treated. That's the only thing, like, shut up and play ball. Like the kid, the dude from Brockton. Did you see that tweet?
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. That's the opinion of some people. What was it, Dance Monkey Dance?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Think about that before you text, you tweet it.
But not only that, but if that's running, like, just the fact that that thought is running through someone's head, that is the reason they're doing this. Like, that thought is actually running through somebody's head.
You're disproving their point.
Well, that's it, right?
It's that's like, all you're doing.
I mean, Jesus this, Christ. It's one thing to tweet it, but it's another thing, like, you know, it's running, and you know, yes, other people didn't tweet it, but you know it's running through other people's heads, too. Shut up and play ball. You know what I mean?
Fire like, chief from Pennsylvania or Ohio or something who tweeted out something about, he said the N-word in his tweets.
And it's just like, come on.
That. But the thing that drives me nuts, drives me up a damn wall, is how the anthem is like, people think of that as like the military thing. It's not a military song. I mean, yeah, it was written during a war and all that, but it's about like America and what, like, the, you think about America, you think about like the fields and, you know, America's beautiful and all that stuff.
Right.
It's not about the military. And we go to these sports games, and I'm all for giving military people, you know, all the credit in the world, they deserve it, but there's other people in the country, and Bob Costa said this, that they too deserve, you know, like some recognition in the seventh inning stretch of a baseball game.
Right.
You know, put a teacher up there. Put a social worker. Put,
you
know, someone who does a lot for their community. And that's, you know, those people are just like, the military's put on such a pedestal, and I understand that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're giving their lives and everything.
Well, yeah, and I understand that. But at the same time, like, we're all, you know, one. You know, we should be just one. And
yeah, that is true.
The guys that are protesting, not one word has been said about the military.
No, and they have actually come out and said it has not. You know, they any chance they get, they'll tell you it's not about the military. This is not about. It has nothing to do with the military. And that's why when Kaepernick started it, he was sitting and he moved to kneeling because after talking to Nate Boyer, who is the guy you were talking about, he said it's more respectful if you're kneeling instead of sitting. So he said, okay, I'll kneel instead of sit because I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just trying to protest because I'm not happy about what's going on. Now, Kaepernick went about it the wrong way. I'm not on Kaepernick's side. He wore the freaking pig socks and everything. And it's like, dude, it's a bad look for him.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sold on him being the martyr that he is. But that's a whole nother discussion, a whole different story. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether you believe him, whether his feelings were genuine or not, is irrelevant. That doesn't matter. What matters is that these guys have the right to do that. And you have the right to shut it off and not watch. That's fine. And if that's your response, if that's what you want your response to be, that's fine. That's totally fine. You're able to do that. That's your right as an American citizen. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But shut up with the calling these guys terrible names and saying they're awful people. They're not. They're using their right to do it. And look, all that matters is this, right? Has Trump ever condemned white supremacy?
No.
No. As a matter of fact, during the white supremacy rally, he said, well, there's a lot of good people on both sides. Really? There's a lot of good people on both sides. No, no, you know, there's good people on both sides. When Nazi flags showed up, there was still good people there. I mean, you know, it's no big deal, right? It happens to everyone. I mean, I'm at parties all the time. Someone shows up with a Nazi flag. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do? It's just, that's just Bob in the corner with his Nazi flag. What do you mean?
Well, Bob.
No big deal, you know? He's a good guy. You know, it's like, dude, really? So that was his response when there's white supremacists. But then guys are taking a knee for the national anthem, and they're sons of bitches, and they should be fired.
Like, because
come on.
Because when we have to tell black people when and how to protest, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
If anyone else protests, it's fine. You know, you had the Women's March. That was fine.
Right.
That didn't get half of right. You know, the right. backlash that this is getting. It just shows how racist this country is.
It really is.
It's sad. Because yeah. I think, what's the percentage of black African-American guys in the league? It's like three quarters
of the league. More than that, probably, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we'll cheer you on because we want a dynasty and, right. and all that. But
as soon as you start
if I'm behind you on the road, I'm going to say get out of the way, N-word. You know what I mean?
Right. Not with that, but...
I'm not saying that like everyone.
No.
But you know what I mean?
You know, as soon as you start to have your own feelings and opinions, then I might have a problem with that, you know? It's ridiculous. So anyways, I think we're pretty clear on our stance here. You know, I understand what's going on. I know the Patriots aren't going to kneel this weekend. I'm kind of happy about it. I just... You know, it's like it's almost like it's gotten enough publicity now that it's almost done what it needs to do, and we move on. And if Trump wants to claim victory, great, good for him. We know he didn't really win. Yeah. We know the NFL bitch slapped him across the face, and there's nothing he can do about it except claim victory. And the ignorant people, you know, there are ignorant people that are going to think that he won, which is fine. That's totally fine. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Let them think that. We all know the truth. And like I said, you know, you all know where we stand, and so, you know, we stand behind them, and that's the way it goes, and they're right, you know?
I was really proud this weekend, because almost the entire sports world rebelled against this idiot, and it was nice to see, it really was. I actually wish more players took a knee. I wish more white players took a knee.
Yeah. Well, I almost feel like
it's tough. Linked arms thing, but that's kind of like a...
It's hard, I almost feel like, because, I don't know. It's a tough situation. We're two white guys talking about this, and I feel the same way that, you know, I'd feel the same way in the field that maybe those guys felt, and I don't know how they felt, but, like, you're almost kind of, you feel like, okay, I want to support you, and I do support you, but, like, do I go too far if I take a knee? Does that detract from what you're, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, am I, you know, so it's in a weird position, and I understand where they're coming from, and so... but you're right. I do kind of wish that more people had knelt. Shit, I wish the whole fucking league had knelt. That would have been awesome.
It would have been
awesome. You know, just for one weekend and be like, dude, screw you, and then we're done. You know? And
but Ray Lewis was praying.
Oh, what a freaking idiot that guy is, dude. He might be the dumbest human alive. That's just, it's hysterical, dude. I said, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Anyway, dude, it's just the guy. We want to talk about CTE. My goodness. anyways, let's get into week three of the actual playing, and then we'll get away from this. I'm sure maybe we'll be talking about it again.
I didn't watch because they were kneeling for the anthem, and I didn't like it, so I tuned out.
Well, I guess I'll have to run this segment then. Here we go. Hi, we're happy to welcome on the show Clem. He is the host of the best parenting podcast on iTunes, Podfathers. He's also the host of the Challenge podcast, No Quitters, and one of the best personalities on Barstool, in my opinion. Cousin Evan said, and I agree, without a doubt, the most underrated. He's a GOT expert, Game of Thrones expert. He's a Moana lover, for sure.
Guilty.
And we won't hold it against him, but he's also a Giants fan. So we figured we'd take...
There's literally nothing in common.
Yo, I'm sitting next to a Redskins fan here, so...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, I'll tell you what, man. I used to like the Giants... And then fucking 07 and 11 happened, and that was just, it was like, no, I'm not a Giants fan anymore. So
I love the Patriots, though. I've always loved the Patriots, and I was a Patriots dude back when Parcells was there. Then Belichick came in. I'm like, those are my guys. I can love them.
Well, that's the one thing. We do kind of owe that to you, right? I mean, Parcells and Belichick both came from the Giants, so you know, we have a lot to be thankful for, I would say, right?
And for the record, that 07 Pats team, if you faced anyone else in the Super Bowl, I was rooting for you guys. I had Brady in fantasy that year, but I always loved Randy Moss. And again, I've always loved the Pats. And like, if you don't like Tom Brady, you're probably a fan of an AFC team.
Right.
But you're also an asshole. Like, the dude's sure. Like the guy, self-made super duper star, the GOAT, whatever you want to say. And like, if you just can't give up behind that, then you're just a hater.
Right. Out. I'm with you on that. I like that. Appreciate that. And that 07, that might be the worst day of my life. And I think the worst loss in the history of sports, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Just what was on the line, and oh, God.
0-3 ALCS.
Mike doesn't agree. Shut up.
0-3 ALCS. That's the worst night of my life. I didn't go to school for like a week
after
that.
That was the fascinating thing about it is how 0-3 happened, 0-4 happened. And then basically, you know, a lot of, you know, it's Giants, Yankees usually, and obviously Pats, Red Sox. And then to have 0-7 happen between those fan bases, it was really kind of a cool little way. As someone that was rooting for the Red Sox during that whole span, I'm a Mets fan, so I'm – full-blown Red Sox.
Yep.
I don't have any hatred against the Celtics, even when I'm a Knicks fan, because they're never good at the same time, other than a couple times recently, mainly because the Knicks are never good anymore. So I got nothing but love for Boston. That's why when all the Boston people were like, I always get Patriots fans who chirp me about Eli and this and that. I'm like, dude, get over it. Like, he's not the worst quarterback in the league. He's not what he was, and he's never was, like, an all-time great, but like, the guy's still, like, 1-2. He's the only guy to ever beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl.
Dude, he's done.
But Ryan had a 28-3 lead in the third quarter. We know, we've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
And some guys couldn't close it out. Eli did twice.
Right.
Hall of Famer. Eli's a Hall of Famer in my book.
That's right. He's going to piss off so many people when he doesn't all.
But he deserves it. And that's the thing is that you look at it and say, there's no one else that I would have taken in a big game between 07 and probably 2013. Because who else was bigger in a big game? I mean, he's the ultimate sucks in the regular season and fucking kills it with 2 minutes left to go in the Super Bowl.
I remember that playoff game in against the Packers, the second one, when Green Bay was 15-1. Everybody picked the Giants that game. It was so weird because, you know, Green Bay is 15-1 and they're the, you know, the best team in the league that year. But everyone picked the Giants.
Killing it. Yeah. And that run... The Niners, like, obviously the first run they did where they beat the Pats the first time was obviously great. And he, you know, he beats Favre and Lambeau in the freezing cold weather, and they beat Rodgers 15-1. What Eli did in that NFC Championship game, which is somehow underrated all these years later.
Oh, yeah.
His ass kicked by the Niners. That defense was ridiculous. And he was like, you just see him like picking himself up. He's like putting his shoulder pad back in, and he stepped in there, took the hits, threw the passes. Like, that is... I'm probably the most proud of Eli Manning in that game as a fan than I ever have been. And we could talk about all the numbers he has, and obviously it's a passing league, and the numbers are a lot more hollow than they used to be. But, like, everyone always says Phillip Rivers is great and Ben Roethlisberger is great. Eli's numbers are awesome, and Phillip Rivers had one of the greatest running backs and one of the greatest tight ends ever. Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh is a machine for broad receivers. Yep. And Eli, like, his best receiver he ever had was an old Steeler that Ben, you know, got rid of. And Ben has Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. And, like, Eli does it with guys like Hakeem Nicks and tight ends that fade away once they leave the Giants. So, I mean, I don't want to make this an all-Eli love fest here. But, you know, I get it from the Patriots fans. I have nothing but love for the Patriots fans. But there's definitely a little bit of saltiness that comes out. And it would drive me crazy, for the record, if a guy like Eli Manning was the guy beating me in this because that goddamn face. And I know as a Giants fan, I have to defend him. And I'm like, I can't defend the face. There's no way
It's brutal. It's brutal. I mean, it's just the And the worst part is that because 01 was so good, but 01 is basically, it's like 07 is like bizarro world 01, where the Patriots lose instead of win, and it's awful.
It's a lot more fun being the hunted than the hunter. When you win in the end, you know.
Right.
What I mean?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. It is. Well, let's get into this year and, you know.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, yeah, through 3 weeks, man, we actually had the Giants win the division because we thought they were going to take a step up and the Cowboys were going to take a step back, which it looks like they have. What do you think the biggest issue is this year? I don't know.
It's exactly what we thought it was going to be. It was the offensive line. You know, the play – I don't understand how the Giants were a good offense in 2014. Granted, the defense was so horrible that it also made it easier for – or was it 2015? Whatever. Before the last year McAdoo was the coordinator, 2015, they were such a good offense. Like, remember that Saints game was like 52-49? Eli was going pass to pass with Breeze. And, like, granted, the defense gave him the ball every time because we couldn't stop a nosebleed. But it's like you go from there to the last 2 years, and I know the offensive line has been bad, but it's like the play calling has to be the issue too. I don't know what they did in the fourth quarter of that Eagles game. I know a lot of guys were hurt in the secondary, and they had Fletcher Cox hurt and all this stuff. But like that was a completely different team out there, and I know Odell was hurt to start the year, which didn't help matters, and he's getting healthier. But it's like it always just looks like they're walking in mud. They're running in mud. Like Rashad Jennings was like that. Then Paul Perkins came in last year. Look better. Now Paul Perkins looks like Rashad Jennings did.
It's awful.
And your boy Vereen, I mean, I never thought – I'd never want to sign a Patriot on free agency because it's like they do what they do up there. Yep, and then once he's gone, not the same, you know? Sure. And I like Vereen. I think he's all right, but he just wasn't – I don't think he was what we needed. And it's just ugly. I mean, it goes back to – again, we all knew the line was going to be bad going into this year. Eric Flowers is a four-letter word around these parts. We knew into the season. I convinced myself that maybe, you know, Jerry Reese had this line. He's like, you know, Flowers is like 23. Bobby Hart, our right tackle, who was, you know, maligned as well, is 22. If they were in the draft and we drafted them now, we could, like, you know. It's like, yeah, but we know they stink. That's the problem. They right. stink at the level. And the worst part about it all, the kicker, is that Eli Apple is the guy we took 2 years ago, got scared off on Laramie Tunsil probably because of the gas mask with the weed. And if Laramie Tunsil goes into the Hall of Fame,
beast.
Eli Apple better be going to the Hall of Fame too. And he has not looked like – he looks like he's going closer to the bench than the Hall of Fame.
Well, at least his mom is a good personality, right?
Yeah. Jesus. Hey, I'll tell you, those like first few weeks after like he got drafted, his mom was like – had the Kardashian jokes and all that stuff. Like, I was like, all right, at least as a blogger I can salvage this for a little bit. And he looked good for a little bit last year. Like, you know, he's growing. But, yeah, it is ugly. And even Mama Apple isn't, you know, the electric personality.
Yeah. What, speaking of OBJ, what do you think about OBJ? I mean, like, after the whole friggin' dog piss thing, and then he wasn't – what did he say? He wasn't really pissing. He was doing something else. What did he say? He was like
– he was saying, like, he's a bitch, you know, because the bitch and Trump with the – you know, I'm a dog and the bitch. Like, read into that. I don't know. It was stupid. It was stupid. 15-yard – again, like, we don't score many touchdowns on this team. So it's like,
right.
Yeah, Evan Ingram grabbing his crotch. You have Odell, you know, peeing like a dog.
Ugh.
He really can't afford to, like, get 15-yard penalties the few times we score touchdowns. The defense is already under enough stress. But then this is the other side of it, too, is then everyone overreacts to everything he does, which he has to learn.
That's
is
going
to
be the case. Yeah.
Then it makes me, like, want to get behind him more because it's like these people are overreacting so much. Even though I agree with some of their points, he's immature, he's dumb, but like he does dumb things. He's not dumb, but he's like he's also an all-time, all-level talent. And if they want to trade him, trade him. But I know when the Vikings traded Randy Moss after a moon, how did that work out?
Yeah,
I
mean, Randy
went into Oakland, the black hole, literally and figuratively. But then he was doing pretty things with your boy Brady up there.
Yes, he was.
You don't trade an all-time talent because of some – like, it's not like he's, like, getting busted with drugs. His injury problems have, for the most part, subsided other than – like, I'm surprised he didn't blow his knee out that night. So it's like, I love Odell. I do think he does stupid stuff. But, like, you just got to get behind it. I mean, and that's the other thing. Shockey, everyone was behind Shockey when he was doing all this stuff in the beginning. And then, like, you know, it just kind of grinds you after a while. But if Odell keeps breaking records for the fastest start in terms of receiving yards, touchdowns – like, it's just one of those things you might have to deal with.
Yeah.
And winning cures all.
Yeah, that's true. How about I drafted him on my fantasy team his rookie year and then cut him after the first 2 weeks because there was shit coming out of camp saying, oh, they didn't like his work ethic and they weren't sure if he was going to come back. And then his first game, my buddy picked him up when he was about to start his first game and he had, like, a touchdown. And I was like, oh, God, this kid looks pretty good.
In my two leagues, he got picked up right before then, and he's been kept ever since because team really, I will never vote Odell Beckham on my team.
That just sucks, dude. I fucking drafted him. I was so mad, dude. But what are you going to do? But no, on the other side of it, at least NFL-wise, you know, the Falcons are starting off wicked strong. I think they probably should be 1-2 because you had Jordan Howard drop the pass on opening day for the Bears. You had the Golden Tate fiasco this Sunday. But I think either way, you start off 0-2, I think there's so much momentum for them. And then not only that, but also, you know, they probably should have lost. And so them winning even may give them more confidence, I think. I don't know. I just think the Falcons are trending in the right direction, whereas I was really worried about the Falcons being able to brush off that hangover from last year. Don't know if you have an opinion on that, but yeah, that was like, I don't know, man. That team's nasty, but I was worried.
I thought you guys snatched their soul last year. I didn't expect this to come out. Again, they should have lost that Bears game. They could have lost that Lions game. Those things usually have a tendency to balance out either this season or next season. You know, it's those one-score games that ends up being equal. I mean, I give them credit. They've definitely bounced back, you know, better than I thought they would. I wasn't sure whether you lose your coordinator too and then the hangover, all that stuff combined. But, you know, Devontae Freeman, talking about fantasy, like I owned Matt Ryan a couple years ago. I watched every Falcons game, and I was like, this Devontae Freeman guy stinks. He looked like Le'Veon Bell did his rookie year, just slow. Did it the whole I'm like, who are these guys now, you know? So it just goes to show you running back is kind of a year-by-year thing. Injuries or, you know, if they have weight issues or whatever it could be, you know, is just getting used to the NFL. They've definitely surprised me in terms of how well they've come out. This week they got Buffalo at home, I know. So I'm interested. I feel like they should take care of business pretty easily at home. But the Falcons, like, this is the thing. That's Super Bowl. I've seen on my Twitter how many times Falcon fans are like, guys, just wait. It's going to happen. It's gonna, like, as a Mets fan, I know that feeling. Yeah. Like, we're going to probably lose this game. And then, boom, you do. And the Mets lose in the most heartbreaking fashion in five games that you can. Same with the Falcons in the Super Bowl. I still feel, this is just me personally, like, it's so hard to get back to the Super Bowl. I don't think the Falcons will be there when it's all said and done. I think they'll be in the playoffs, obviously. I think it's just not good. But I think it'll be like your typical Seattle, Green Bay. Again, I think Dallas did take a step back. If the Giants were better, they could have filled that void in the first place. Right. But I feel like it's going to be like a Seattle or Green Bay kind of a year again in the NFC.
Don't count out the Skins.
You like that? Hey, you guys are going to be paying Kirk Cousins like by $50 million a
year. You're damn right.
Oh, what a mess that whole freaking situation.
He's trapped. He's going to be stuck there forever, whether he likes it or not.
That's true.
Enjoy it while you got it, man. Daniel Snyder is the NFL's James Dolan.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this with Nate at Barstool all the time. Like, once I'm done, like, with my Dolan hate and the Knicks are out of the news or they're done for a while, I'm like, all right, your time to pick up the baton and hate Daniel Snyder.
So, other than the Giants and Falcons, any surprising team for you so far this year? Just, like, either above, you know, above average, above what you were expecting or below what you were expecting?
I mean, I'm kind of interested to see what Jacksonville does after that Ravens game, because I didn't see them coming out that, you know, they played so well against Houston after the hurricane, which I think a lot of people thought Houston would really come out and take it to them. Yeah. The Tennessee game was pretty close, and then it just got ugly really quick. I know they got the Jets this week, so in terms of surprise teams, I'd like to see, you know, Tampa Bay, I'd like to see what they can do. I thought they were going to be a team that would take the next step forward.
Yeah.
They haven't done it. I thought Arizona might go back to where it was 2 years ago, but you got guys like Carson Palmer. The Chargers, too. Like, God, that just – it hurts me now. Like, I've never been a huge Philip Rivers fan. It just hurts watching the way they lose because, again, like, as a Mets fan, I know as one of those – as a Giants fan, you know, I think people outside of New York realize, like, we do have some, like, heartbreaking losses and some end of seasons with Coughlin where we would just collapse. And, like, the Chargers are just another one of those teams. And just the way the Kansas City has played, and I'd love to see them keep this offense up all year because I think it's a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, New England on opening night. But I'm pretty sure if the Patriots play the Chiefs again, they'll be ready, at least defensively, scheme-wise. I don't know if you guys have the players.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. That's actually my team that surprises me the most because I had them 19-0. I'm maybe a little biased. The Patriots season's ticking older. But I thought they were the most talented they've been in years. And then, of course, Edelman goes down and Hightower's out now. And, you know, Mitchell goes down and all these guys go down. But even still, man, they've given up 95 points in three games. 95, and the Colts have given up 90, and nobody else in the NFL has given up more than 80. So, like, they are, like, the worst team defensively, and it's not close. And offensively, they've been good, but I don't know, man. It's scary. It's scary times here in New England.
Oh, yeah, really scary. Yeah, I have Tom Brady. Right? Really scary. I'm terrified.
I know. I'm sure a Giants fan wants to hear how scary it is.
I had to watch a guy kick a 61-yarder against me, my biggest rival. Like, that's scary. That's nightmare.
That was brutal. I was talking to my buddy who was a Giants fan, and he said, you know, he's watching it, and he shut it off because he's like, he had some stuff to do with the, he's got two little kids too. He's got some stuff to do, and he's like, I turned it back on, and the game was over, and he's like, they kicked the field goal in overtime that early? And he's like, what? 61? He's like, what the fuck was that, dude?
I was going to tweet out when the Giants got the ball that last possession and they had the chance. I was like, this is going 6 one way or the other. Odell's taking this 80. I realize they're going to pick 6 going the other way. And this is almost just as painful. But
that's just brutal. And
I do want to say, I got to shout out my buddy Quinn. He predicted July of 2007, we were at a bachelor party. He goes, Pats are going 19-0 this year. And he was, I'm a Giants fan. He was riding me. And he got all the way to the team was the one that did it to him. And I go to him. I go, dude. If they had won that game, you would have been the guy that called it, and I would have, you know, co-signed for the rest of my life. And the fact it was my team, which in a million years I would have never thought that would happen.
Right.
Even though it looked all right that year, I thought they'd be all right that year. So, and that's kind of the big surprise. I got to say, Minnesota, you know, keeping it together without Bradford. Yeah. I just like a good home team. I have to remember that for my gambling. Minnesota home, pick them every time. On the road, hit or miss.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, it's interesting you brought up the Chargers. I actually was going to talk about the Chargers because I feel like being a Chargers fan just must be just brutal. I mean, you're in every game, but you wind up losing pretty much every game.
It can't get worse.
I think they have – they're 0-3 and they have a point differential of 19 points. And they were down 7 with 3 minutes left to the Chiefs, and they gave up a 69-yard touchdown run to Kareem Hunt with 3 minutes left to go in the game. So they end up losing by 14, but, like, they – it was – again, it was a one-score game. They had a chance to tie – it was just, like, it's brutal. So my question to you was, what team would you least likely to be a fan for? But there is a caveat here. You cannot choose the Browns because the best moment for the Browns was when Kevin Costner was wheeling and dealing on draft day. So that doesn't count. You can't choose the Browns. So other than the Browns, we think the worst team to be a fan.
I'm sorry, man. I'm going to say the Redskins. I'm sorry, dude. Really? I'm telling you. I know this. James Dolan. That guy is James Dolan. You don't have a chance to win it all because he's going to screw things up. It's nothing personal against the Redskins and their roster, but it's like already you got GMs coming and going, and it's
– they're such a mess. They've been a mess for years. It's
ever since he took – like you can just point to the moment where he takes over, and it's just the coaches going in and out, respected old – like, you know, Joe Gibbs in, Joe Gibbs out, and that, you know, Van Gundy left as soon as he saw the writing on the wall at the Knicks. And I just feel like long-term, lifetime fan – you can figure out a way to get an owner, you know, if an owner dies or sells a team. I just feel like in the end, if you have a young guy like Snyder who's like a diehard Redskins fan, like you're kind of just stuck with him forever until he just
Well, you know, here's my favorite Mike Redskins story of all time. Where the two of us are in a knockout league pool and it's $10 a person, but there's like 120 people, so it's like a $1,200 pot. Number one gets it all. So he's a few years ago, he's in like the top 6 or 7.
Yeah, it was like it was like down to the wire. Week 10 or something.
So he picks on Monday night the Cowboys to beat the Redskins, and I'm driving in the game with my sister, and I'm like, "Are you shitting me? He picked the fucking Cowboys. You can't do that
because I've seen that story before. It just happens. The Skins on Monday night. They never win on Monday night. So then, in Dallas.
So that's the game that Romo got hurt, and then ended up coming back in. and the fucking Redskins won, dude. And I was like
I was still pumped, but it kind of sucked losing, like $1,500.
That's a bummer, man.
They went like 4-12 that year, so it's not like they needed to win that game. It was just
brutal.
Yeah, that's low for me.
Yeah, that was a low point.
And your friends will never live it down either. Like my buddies are Giants fans, but they also love, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers in fantasy. They won the league because of Rodgers, and they put it all on the Packers against the Giants. Packers won, but they didn't cover, and I was like, good. That's what you get.
That's how the universe comes together.
That's it. That's it, man. That's what happens. Karmic forces. By the way, for me, I would have picked the Bengals because the Bengals are just Marvin Lewis is just he's just dreadful. And he's like a Supreme Court justice. He's never gonna lose his freaking job.
Actually, that's it. You know, I could say Bengals if I didn't say, because this is the thing. This is going way back. First year I ever played fantasy was 95. I'm an ancient old man here. I was born too. And I took Jeff Blake. So my AOL handle was Blake Fan. That was my screen name.
Oh my God, Blake, dude.
You're 13 years old, you're an idiot. I never thought in a million years I'd have that in college, right? So I have that. I love the guy. And I rooted for the Bengals. They were like kind of like one of my teams too.
I was like Carl Pickens and they had a solid roster back then.
Kajana Carter.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, like, I know what it's like to be a Bengals fan, basically, because I followed them very closely and, like, rooted for them. They were, like, my AFC team. And that's the same feeling as James Dolan. Like, they're cheap. Like, Joe Dolan's not cheap, but they're dumb. Mike Brown is cheap and he's dumb.
Right.
And that is probably 1 and 1A with Daniel Snyder, I'd say. Daniel Snyder spends the money. Mike Brown's just cheap and dumb.
Right. That doesn't help. Certainly doesn't help. So, yes.
The Browns are just cursed. There's really no
way. The Browns are just – that's why they can't even – it doesn't even count. You can't even count the Browns because it's just like they got so much history and every single piece of their history just sucks. Every single one of it is just like – you feel terrible, but it's like there's nothing good has ever happened in that franchise ever.
The drive, the fumble, like it's the – when you have
right.
Drive,
yeah. Right.
You
and it's a bad thing, right? Yeah. It's like the drive is a good thing for the 49ers, and it's the opposite for the Bengals, for the Browns. It's just brutal. So, anyways, the last question we have is any team you see making a run that, like, to win the division that people don't expect, or a team that everyone thinks is going to win the division that you think is going to just shit the bed, isn't as good as that people think they are?
Let's see. I could see, I mean, I don't know if Minnesota's really like a dark horse there. I just can't believe Jim Caldwell keeps doing it with the Lions, man. I just don't know how he does it. You know what I mean? Like, the Packers are the clear favorite there. I could see Minnesota doing it. Like, Green Bay, you know, they're, you know, Cobb already's hurt. He's playing now, and I guess they're winning now, last I checked. Jordy's getting old. He's getting dinged up, and Rodgers still makes it work. I could see maybe the Bucs coming in. A lot of people say the Eagles could win the NFC East.
I think so.
You know, I think the Pats got the AFC East locked down for the 18 millionth year in a row. And I don't know even know what to make out of the AFC West right now. I mean, Denver looks good, but this weekend, like, even against the Raiders, like, I'm like, can they, you know, there's a, like, weird things happen in that division. Yeah. It's like the East. I mean, you guys know, like, you come out of nowhere, it's like, you know, Oakland goes into Denver and wins by 20. You're like, what the hell happened? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I see it. I think the South is – the crazy thing about the South is probably – the best quarterback there is Andrew Luck, who's obviously hurt. But the other three are starting to, like, get up to speed. All those, like, top 10 picks are starting
Watson looks really good this weekend. I was really impressed.
I like Watson a lot. I'm excited for the Texans for the long term with him and, like, a real defense, obviously. And Hopkins gets the ball every play. It's incredible to watch one of their games, and they just throw to DeAndre Hopkins every single time. I know Fuller's back this week, but they just throw to Hopkins every single time.
And he's just that good. He made, some of the catches he makes are just ridiculous. And you're just like, there's just nothing you can do. There's just nothing you can do to stop that, you know?
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh's going to get better as the season goes along. I am a little concerned. Like, I have Le'Veon Fantasy, so I've watched a lot of his games. I don't know if it's the groin injury or it's just, you know, getting up to speed and the whole offense is just kind of out of sync. I feel like if they hit their stride and they actually get all these guys in the lineup together for the first time, really going, clicking with Le'Veon, Martavis, Tonio, Roethlisberger, I think they can, like, and the defense is like a blitzing, fun defense now. I think they could kind of do some crazy old Pats kind of stuff where they just beat you on offense, and then defense, they just release the dogs on you.
Yeah. How about this, dude? If the Patriots don't complete that long pass to Cooks and win that game, they'd be tied with the Jets for last place right now in that division. Like, that's just, like, that's mind-blowing to me. I just can't even imagine, dude.
That's brutal, man. That's just, that, like, the universe needed that to, like, autocorrect itself. That's why right to Cooks. And it, I'll tell you, like, the Jets are the best team in New York. It's like, yeah, you guys have played, like, nobody compared to what we've played. But it's like, you know what? I can't say. I can't argue. It's you true. Guys have the, you don't, so.
Well, at the very least, you'll be tied at the end of the weekend, right? At the best, right? So, which sucks. I mean, to be tied with the Jets is not good, you know? It's not good territory. So, and if you had Jay Cutler as your quarterback, maybe you could, you know, say, okay, it makes sense. But, you know, not with Eli as your quarterback, but that's the way it goes. So, well, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it. And, listen, we'll have to have you back on the show once the Giants go 9-7 and fucking make the Super Bowl again this year.
If we do, everyone, you know, everyone jokes about Eli, but then once you make the playoffs, I realize it gets a little quieter. Like, wait, is this idiot about to do it again?
Yep.
I don't know what he's doing. He just does it, though. It's crazy. So hopefully we get on the board this week.
Yeah, get off the schneid, as Boom would say, and then go from there, you know?
Exactly. So. No, but thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right, good. All right, well, thanks, man. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
All right, you too. All right, that was an awesome interview. Really cool with him coming on. That was really fun. So we want to get into some week three stuff of the NFL. First Patriots game. Shit, that was ugly. I mean, wicked ugly. Classic kind of Patriots-Brady game where the Patriots play like absolute shit, and then Brady just pulls a rabbit out of a hat at the end. The Cooks catch was ridiculous. The throw was even better. It was wild. And I'll tell you what, dude. Brady... his stats were 25 of 35 for 378, 5 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions.
He hasn't thrown a pick yet, right?
That is correct. But I was like, yeah, he played good. Like, that's literally, dude, 25 of 35, 378, 5 touchdowns, no picks. And I was like,
there's nothing wrong with that stat.
Okay. I know, but watching the game. I was there at the game watching the game. I was like, man, you know, he looked slow. He looked, maybe guys weren't open. I don't know. But like, he missed some guys. He made some bad throws. He made a few bad decisions.
Well, he has a ton of time. I think I saw a stat today. This is the most time in his career he's ever had to throw.
I think it's like 2.58 per release on average. Yeah. So, yeah, he's definitely taking the longest because, you know, he wants to throw it downfield, I think. But I'll tell you what, man, that game was nuts. And the Texans did not help themselves out. They kicked a field goal up 2, which I agree with. And a lot of people disagreed with that. With that particular decision, mm-hmm. It was 4th and 1, but they had to go. They had to kick the field goal there. If you go for it and don't get it, a field goal wins the game for the Patriots. Right. You can't do obvious. That. If it were 3 points, then I would have said, okay, fine, go for it. But at 2 points, you have no choice. You have to take the points and make it a 5-point game. Then a touchdown beats you, and you say, look, if a touchdown beats us, a touchdown beats us. And I get it's Brady, and I end it, all that stuff. But like, so what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, take the points.
Always you have to, right? Always. And again, like I said, you know, we talked about statistically where it's actually better to go for on 4th and 1 pretty much anywhere. Mm-hmm. But the game dictated right there with that little time left, you had to kick the field goal and take the points.
Yeah.
Because otherwise a field goal wins the game for the Patriots and you're not going to get enough time left on the clock for you to drive down and score. And so you couldn't have had that happen. Like I said, if it had been 3 or 4 points, I would have said, screw it, go for it, and let's see what happens. But, you know, not at that level. So
I think this is a type of game where if these two teams play in the playoffs again, I can see Houston beating the Patriots. Because that's how it tends to work out in this league. If you play a team, a better team really competitively in the regular season,
right,
and you almost beat them, you know, there's a better chance of you winning in the playoffs against
them. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. I mean, it really is a good point. I think
it's always happened with the Patriots.
Yeah. The only problem is I think that this was Houston's – I think this is the best game they've played all year long. I think Watson, it might be the best good. Play they play, the game they play all year long. Watson looked fantastic.
He's looked good all year.
And by the way, dude, as happy as impressed I was about him on the field, then I see he donated his first game check to the 3 lunch ladies. You see that?
Yeah.
Which was so classy, and you know, you like to see stuff like that. But man, his play action fake was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very good player.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, the Texans really kind of hit gold on that one. They gave up a first round pick next year to do it. But you know, I think that one might have paid off for them. So I will say though, Bill O'Brien, man, did not look good on a few of those different plays. He made that one challenge.
Botched it. The last play.
That last play was ridiculous, dude. I mean, so Hopkins catches the ball at about midfield with 12 seconds left. Mm-hmm. You call timeout. I mean, you call timeout. That's
why are you saving the timeout?
It was so stupid. I mean, even if they could have, you know, maybe if you're at the line of scrimmage, maybe you get up and lined up. But like, you got to run 25 yards downfield. Everyone's got, like, there's no way you can do that. And if you get up there and snap it, you're going to have 3 seconds left. It's the last play of the game. So you're going to have to call timeout anyways. If you call timeout with 12 seconds left, you have 1 or 2 quick outs. And then you have a shot. Then you have a chance. Or even, they're down 3 points. I mean, my theory right there would be call a timeout there, try to throw a quick, you know, a quick out for 7 yards and a quick out for 10 yards and kick a field goal and try to tie the game. I mean, it's like, man, it was just like so stupid. It's like he's playing Madden.
He dropped his controller.
Right?
And you can't call a timeout, and then like, the game ends, and you're just pissed.
It's just so stupid. But anyways, that was that. Patriots kind of lucked out there. We do have the play you missed. The play you missed actually ended up not coming back to bite the Patriots in the ass, but about 4:30 left to go in the first quarter. Texans punt the ball. It's a short punt. Amendola calls fire, which means everyone get out of the way, get off the field, basically. And the ball bounces around like the 25-yard line, I want to say. It may have even been further out, but it's around the 25-yard line, I think. And Amendola lets it go. It takes a high bounce right by him and lets it go. They down at the 6-yard line. Patriots go 3 and out. They kick it out of the end zone. And I think the Texans take over at their 44. 2-play drive. They score a touchdown. And they take the lead 10-7. And at that point, it, you know, could have been a huge game changer. The Patriots' next drive, they punt again. But then luckily, Watson threw a pick. And the Patriots scored in their first play after that pick. So that was huge. But like, that one could have really came back to bite them in the ass on that one. And luckily it didn't. But that, to me, was one that was like, ball takes a high bounce like that. I understand you call fire, but you catch that ball. It's bouncing back towards the end zone. Yeah. And you're standing at the 15. It's not going to make it back. So you just catch it and go down. But, you know, he let it go, and that was that. But, yeah, so, that one.
Are you nervous yet?
I'm a little nervous.
Well, what's your scale 1 to 10? How nervous are you?
On my nervous scale?
Yeah. 10 the most nervous.
Probably like a 5 or a 6. Wow. I'm pretty damn nervous. I mean,
Brady
look.
Went 25 for 25 through 5 touchdowns.
35. 20 for 35. 5 touchdowns. I know, but the defense, I said it to Clem, the defense has given up 95 points in 3 games. 95 points in 3 games. The under Belichick, the highest ever was 2011, which was 79. In the NFL this year, Indy's given up 90 because Indy's terrible, and they've allowed like a bunch of defensive touchdowns against them too. But nobody else in the NFL has allowed more than 80 through 3 games. So like that tells you how bad the Patriots defense has played. They've been Swiss cheese the whole season basically. That's what scares me. Brady's gonna be fine. The offense is gonna be fine. I don't think they're gonna put up 40 points every game, but like they're gonna be okay. The defense is what really scares me. I'd like to think they're going to be all right because they have Belichick as a coach. They have an elite secondary, in my opinion, and I think they're pretty good in the front seven. They may not be great. Their linebacking core isn't fantastic. I wouldn't be surprised to see some sort of trade to bring in a linebacker, but I think they're okay. But they haven't been able to stop the run. They haven't been able to stop the pass. They've been giving up a shit ton of big plays. They have the highest. They're last in the NFL in yards per play, passing and rushing defensively, which is like, that's the hallmark of Belichick's defense. You don't give up big plays. So, that's where I'm worried is that, I just hope they can get the defense figured out. And I think they will be able to, but if they can't, they're not going very far.
I mean, 2011 team went to the Super Bowl, but this reminds me a lot of that team.
Yeah, I mean, that 2011 team had no business in that Super Bowl. No way. And if Gronk had been healthy, they'd probably win that Super Bowl. But, which is ridiculous to even think about. But that tells you how good that offense was. I mean, Julian Edelman was playing slot corner on that defense. Mm-hmm. This defense is a hell of a lot better, more talented than that defense was. So I'm hoping they can figure that shit out. But, and God, then there were rumors of trading Malcolm Butler. That shit was scary. So hopefully that doesn't happen because they haven't figured that crap out.
Assets.
So,
Danny would trade him.
Oh, yeah. Danny would trade him. No, he wouldn't. Maybe he would, but I don't think he would. But so this week, it's funny because the ratings were down and everything. Then you had the protest stuff going on. And then it was just the best week in the NFL for the past, I don't know, 10, maybe 5 years. There was
I'd say like 2 years.
Few years. All right. Yeah. Few years. Either way. Okay.
Sorry.
The Eagles Giants game, which we talked about with Clem already, 61 yard field goal as time expires. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. That's talk about a kick to the nuts. The Rams 49ers game on Thursday night was a wild game. And again, it was a sloppy game, but like the Niners ended up losing, but they scored. They were down 14. They score, miss the extra point. They get the ball back again, score again, miss the 2-point conversion. Then get the onside kick. It was like, it was unbelievable, dude. So, and then of course they ended up losing, but it was just a wild, wild finish. And, an interesting game kind of all around. Anyone that played Todd Gurley in fantasy, rest in peace. Although, how about this? I played Todd Gurley and Tom Brady in fantasy on the same team and beat that team.
Wow.
Like, holy shit, dude. If I was that guy, that would really suck, dude, because you have Gurley and Brady, and they both go off, and you lose that game. So, yeah, I didn't do so well in our league, but that's neither here nor there. I'm 0-3, by the way, now.
In our league?
Oh, 0-3. Good. Only 0-3 team.
I have the ball in my trunk, if you want to know.
It's not good. It's not good. I'm not having it. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm top 5 in points scored. I just, it's killing me. So it was a 65-61 game this week. A 65-61 game, and I lost 134 to 117. That's just not fair, dude. I almost single-handedly outscored both of those teams combined, and I lost this week. So, I mean, bad luck. What are you going to do?
Probably pick up some of the players that I'm dropping because they took a knee for the anthem.
I'll do that. I'm down with that. So continuing along, Browns and Colts, that was really kind of the toilet bowl. Although, Jacoby looked pretty good. He's kind of my boy. Browns almost came all the way back, obviously didn't, but it was a pretty wild finish anyways. And the Packers, Bengals, holy Christ, dude, only the Bengals could do that. Only the freaking Bengals could do that. I mean, that's what Rodgers is known for, but like only the Bengals. Like, really? It just, you know.
0-3?
Bengals are 0-3. Yep, Bengals are 0-3. They suck. They really, really suck. Yeah, that division is not good, as we projected at the beginning, although I think Baltimore's 2-1, but they played nobody. And they played nobodies in their first two games, and I think they have Pittsburgh coming up. They're going to get the doors blown off this weekend. So
they got blown out by Jacksonville.
Yeah, they're going to get freaking murdered. So and Jacksonville looks pretty good. So it's kind of shocking.
Yeah.
So last one was the Falcons Lions. That one had a crazy ending with Golden taking and tackled at the goal line, but then not being in, they reviewed it, and then it was wild. I don't know, but they had that stupid 10-second runoff.
The 10-second runoff. I hate that stupid rule.
I agree with you. But you know what I don't hate is RotoSurance. RotoSurance is insurance for your fantasy football team. And if you go into RotoSurance.com, you type in the promo code WWP, you get 20% off of all your insurance. And by the way, I think they're still doing NFL. I'm pretty sure they're still doing NFL right before week 4 in your face. That's pretty legitimate. Also,
that's ballsy.
Right? I think so. I mean, shit, right? Also, they're doing hockey now. They're doing basketball now. So you can insure your hockey and basketball teams as well. So go to rotoinsurance.com, promo code WWP, and save 20% off now. But yeah, that Lions game was ridiculous, dude. That 10-second runoff play, they got to change that rule because they had 8 seconds left. I really feel like if he gets tackled and that call is made correctly, that they can get up and run a play. And even if it's a QB sneak, it doesn't matter what it is. They just get the playoff and run something. It doesn't make a difference. You're at the 1-inch line. So literally Stafford just dives over the pile. I don't know, but that was crazy. But it just kind of added to the mayhem. And I think the Falcons, Lions, the Eagles, Giants, the Browns, Colts, not the Packers, Bengals, I don't think, but the Patriots game, those are all 1 o'clock games. And actually, the Packers, Bengals may have been a 1 o'clock game.
No, that was 4 o'clock.
That was 4 o'clock. Yeah, either way, but I mean, a ton of games at the 1 o'clock hour. And then also, at that 4 o'clock hour as well. So, crazy week in week three. Week 4 should be more of the same. Although I think the Patriots will come out and kind of have their way with Carolina. I don't think Carolina's that good. Cam Newton is not.
That might be a tough game. Sneaky, tough game.
It's true. Cam Newton just hasn't looked right, though. He looks like he's hurt still. I don't know what's going on. So, that's an interesting one to take a look at. So, who knows what's going to happen there, but we will see. But we do have Cousin Evan's pick of the week, speaking of week 4. His pick of the week is presented by MyBookie.ag. You can use the promo code WARRIOR on MyBookie.ag for a 100% deposit match. That means you put in $50, they will give you $50 to play with. You can't beat that. You put in $100, they give you $100 to play with. So it's like if you lose that money, it's no big deal because it wasn't even your money anyways. You just got that for free. So you might as well bet extra. So maybe don't put all your money, but put a good chunk of your money on Cousin Evan's pick. He's 3-0, by the way, this week. 3-0.
Pretty good.
So far, killing it, okay? This week, he's got Denver at home, -2.5 against Oakland. Oakland's looked downright terrible. Denver always plays well at home, even though Denver lost in Buffalo last weekend. Doesn't matter. Give me the -2.5 points. Denver's winning this weekend in Denver against Oakland. That's the Cousin Evan pick of the week. So go on mybookie.ag, type in the promo code WARRIOR, get that extra 100% back, and then put your freaking money on that game and double your money. I mean, can't beat that, right? They're going to double your money, then you can double your money again. That's like quadrupling your money. Mm. Even more than that, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a math teacher. So I think that's it. I think it's all we got for football.
Skins Chiefs Monday night.
So shit. That's right. That's going to be a good game. Skins Chiefs Monday night.
Yep.
Shit, dude. Yeah, the Chiefs are the 3-0. Redskins are 2-1, right?
Yeah.
In so,
Kansas City. Should be a shootout.
It probably should be. Yeah. In Kansas City, it's a tough place to play, man. Tough place to play. Mm-hmm. If Washington dominated last week. So if they go in and dominate against the Chiefs the way they did, I don't know how anyone can question how good that team is now. They look pretty freaking dominant. Certainly defensively, they looked fantastic, and Cousins finally played well. And, if they get their stuff together, man, and they beat Kansas City, or at least give Kansas City a really good game, even if they lose, if they really play them well, I think it goes a long way towards showing that Washington's legit and not to be messed with. So that'll be an interesting game to watch.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's move from the NFL to the MLB. We have to take some time to shit on the Red Sox a little bit. Maybe not totally shit on the Red Sox a little bit, but
currently also maybe losing kind 10-2.
Oh, that's close. You never know.
To the Astros, but the Yankees are losing 9-5. So if the Yankees lose and the Red Sox lose, and the Red Sox clinch at least a tie for the division championship, so.
So yeah, so the magic number goes to 1.
Yeah.
Right. So which sucks because if they had won tonight, then that would have been it. They would have clinched tonight.
Yeah, they would have clinched. Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
But they don't look good going into the playoffs. I think they're kind of limping into it in a way.
You think?
I know the pitching staff sucks just as much as I thought it would. Sale, I don't know what to think about him anymore. Obviously he's the best pitcher in the American League.
Yeah.
Him and Corey Kluber, but man, like, how do you deal with him in the future in the later months of the year?
It's scary. It really is scary. And they, you know, they
right now is the time he's supposed to be elevating.
Right, and he's playing worse.
Yeah.
And it's really not good, and so it's really a question of what happens with Sale. You know, they put him back out there to get his 300 strikeout, and that was suspect at best, I thought, especially where he looks like he's fading a little bit, and then you use him extra just to get his 300 strikeout. That was stupid, I thought. Yeah, it's scary. I mean, I'm a little worried about them right now. I don't know what their starting pitching looks like. I don't know who the hell is going to start for them in the playoffs. You know, shit, man. The
Sale and Pomeranz and then whoever else you can throw there.
Didn't Pomeranz? No, Erod pitched tonight, right?
Yeah,
and he got through one and two-thirds. He crushed it. But Pomeranz pitched the other night and sucked too. So it's like, yeah, you don't know what you're getting from any of these guys. Maybe you throw Porcello out there. Maybe you throw Pomeranz out there. Maybe you throw Erod out there. Like, I don't know who you're going to put out there. But
a weird year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they've just kind of coasted through the season.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they've just won way more often than they've lost, but...
Well, they wanted a few long winning streaks.
Yeah.
Right? And that kind of helped them.
Yeah.
But, shit, man. I mean, I wrote down. I literally wrote... The first thing I wrote about the Red Sox is they tried to blow the division, but started sucking too late. Like, that's, like, this is their MO. Like, this is what they do. They blow the division in September, and they just, you know... Stupid idiots, they just started too late, so they can't blow the division this summer, you know, this year. But it's like, man, I don't know how anybody could possibly predict them to beat the Astros in the first round the way they're playing right now. I think they have the potential to do that.
I think Astros, I mean, it's them and Cleveland, the two best teams in the American League.
Right.
Well, the Yankees are all right. Minnesota's in the playoffs now.
So yeah.
They'll be in the wild card game, but yeah, Red Sox said they... Next year has to be a year that they sign, you know, a bat, another arm, and another, like, bullpen guy. Because David Price isn't your eighth inning guy. You don't spend $30 million on an eighth inning guy. He's not Andrew Miller.
No, he's going to be your starter next year. He's going to be a starter next year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hopefully with someone else, but.
Right. Right. You got to pick up someone else, or at least, you know, but they have no one in the pipeline. I mean, they had all these guys in the pipeline that was supposed to be really good, and they've all sucked every single one.
Henry Owens sucks. All those guys suck. Brian Johnson sucks.
No, we wouldn't trade Henry Owens for anything, basically. We're like, we're not trading this guy. What I don't understand is how the fuck did the scouts not see this coming? Like, how do you not?
This just happens.
You know what I mean? Like,
happens.
He just went from being a really good pitcher to being a shitty pitcher, or. Yeah.
Well, because that happens in the other way, too. Like, guys will be pretty bad in the minors, and then they get the September call up, then they're good, and then, you know, kind of late bloomers. But I don't know. I'm still rooting for them, obviously. If not them, I'd like to see Cleveland win it. Maybe the Cubs go back to back because, you know, screw the Dodgers. But I don't know.
Oh, I'm rooting for the Astros, man.
I'm rooting for the Astros. They're not a true American League team.
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, but okay, but who cares about the American League or National League? Like, you can't root for them, period?
Why? Because they had a hurricane?
No, screw the hurricane, dude. But no, I mean, like, okay, don't screw the hurricane. But the point is that, like, to me, I just think that they're a likable team. Like, I think George Springer's a likable guy. Like, sure. I think Jose Altuve is really good. Like, I like Dallas Keuchel a lot. Like, you know, I think those guys are, you know, they got a little more of a douche factor when they brought in Verlander. But, like, you know, but either way, I mean, like, I think that they're a fairly likable team. They were a team that sucked for a really long time. And they did what other teams were kind of afraid to do, which was basically tank and rebuild through the farm system. And it's paid off.
Oh, yeah. They've done a nice job. I just don't like the Astros.
Yeah, but it's okay.
I've just never been an Astros fan. I don't like the Nationals either. I hate the Nationals.
Well, the Nationals are one. I mean, the Nationals are they're an expansion team as far as I'm concerned, and
yeah.
not a fun one. I don't think.
Not the Expos.
Good point. Good point. So, yeah, I don't know, man, but that's the way I look at it. Playoffs start next week, right?
Tuesday, so wild card game.
Tuesday's wild card game.
Yep. Tuesday, then Wednesday, and then
hopefully the Red Sox. Hopefully the Red Sox will be playing on Tuesday. Hopefully the Red Sox will be playing on Thursday.
Thursday or Friday.
So we'll probably have a more in depth preview for you next week.
Yes.
It looks like they're playing the Astros, unless.
If they win the division, they'll be playing the Astros.
Right? Cause,
which they have a 4-game series right now with Houston.
Right. So. Has Cleveland clinched already number one?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure.
I think, no, they're actually a game up on Houston.
That's what I thought. I thought it was closer than it was. So it
National could be, League, that's been clinched. But
so it could be that, you know, if Houston wins a few games and Cleveland wins a few games, then maybe you're playing Cleveland instead of Houston. So
so much better.
Right? So, I mean, then you can get taken to the woodshed by Cleveland. Oh my god, dude. That would be a freaking sweep and a half.
Yeah.
All right, so this week in sports history, you have this day in sports history, you have one,
yeah.
Right, don't you?
Ted Williams went 6-for-8 in a doubleheader to finish the year hitting .406 in 1939. He was already hitting me? I think he was hitting .401
yeah.
going into the day, and the manager let him was
right,
gonna
that's
let
the
him
old famous
out.
Story,
yeah.
right? Right. Yep.
Williams was like, screw that, I'm gonna play. And he went 6-for-8 yeah. in a doubleheader.
My
unbelievable.
God.
Greatest hitter ever.
I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. Nope. He's the greatest hitter of all time. Maybe the best baseball player of all time. Maybe. Babe Ruth, I mean, I think.
Kind of slacked in the outfield, though. He would just, like, pretend to swing a bat in the outfield. That's how much he cared.
you know. Whatever. Billy Beane would tell you don't need fielding anyways. So.
That's true.
But yes, that's a good one. So yeah, that's it. That's all we got today. Oh, also we want to thank. So our outro, the end of the show is going to be like the beginning of the show before. We just kind of we changed the format on you a little bit. We figured we just get you started, and then if you're still with us and you want to listen to the outro and you want to listen to the dope ass song by M. Dot and Core, great. You want to listen to my fantastic intro, which is now my fantastic outro, my fantastic movie outro. Great, but you're not forced to anymore. You don't have to fucking skip over that shit. You can just shut it off if you want to.
Yeah.
So that's up to you. But we do want to give a big thanks to MDOT and Core. Again, at MDOT Boston on Instagram and Twitter. He's also on iTunes and Spotify. And then Core is at Core of EMS. So at K-O-R-E of EMS. Again, we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Pod Paradise. We're on a bunch of different places. So, you can check us out there. If you leave us a review on any of those sites, we'd love you to do iTunes. But even if it's not iTunes, any of those sites, take a screenshot, send us an email, or send us a DM, and we'll get you out some cool shit. Our email and Twitter are the same. It's Weekend War Pod, no E's. So WKNDWARPOD at gmail.com. That's our email address. And the Twitter handle is the same thing, at WKNDWARPOD. So you can email us, you can tweet at us, or perhaps it's like you're living in your own little world and nobody can hear you in your own little world, and you think that you're living in your own little world and your own little world is the only world, but it's not actually the only little world, and the only person that can hear you is us. We hear you and we will protect you, and we know that you're there no matter what, even if people don't agree with us, like kangaroos and monkeys and birds. If they don't agree, that's okay. They don't have to hear you, but we'll tell them they're here, they have a message, and we believe in them even if you don't, because the person is a person no matter how small. Remember that. I think that's how it goes. Anyway.
That Horton hears a who?
Maybe. So the point is that we will hear you, we will keep telling people that you're there, and we'll try to get your message out, and eventually that we are here, we are here, we are here. It will break through. JoJo might be the one that does it. You never know. JoJo LaFell, possibly. I don't know. But either way, JoJo may be the one to get it out. We'll get that message out for you.
Terry, can I call trash? Warriors, come on. WCP, we warriors, especially on the weekend. Looking for that sports talk, this is where it be, man. Breakdowns on your favorite teams and all that. Hear about the starters long before the ball snap. You can call Pat or go ahead and call Mike, cause we here all night, no time to stall, right? 2 seconds left, clutch on, it's go time. Nickels on the O-line, watch the losers go wild.
Turn me up on that radio dial. It's been a while since I played, but I'm here with a smile. Taking jump shots, get a minute, I'm out of breaking records like Bill Russell. Kid has got muscle. Being polite when I'm batting this mic. You see the city of champs coming to victory dance, buddy. It's radio talk, so turn it up when it's on. We're gonna listen and rock to what it is that you want. Warriors,
you'll need to tune in. This is show.